Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I want to get an update on the Ukraine and what is happening, or on the Ukraine war anyway. And joining me is Tembisa Fakude, who's a political analyst and senior research fellow at AfriAid. Good morning, how are you, Tembisa?
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. Are you as stunned as I am at the United Nations inactivity and the rest of the world in terms of intervening with Ukraine?
Yes, I am.
Tembisa?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. There you go. There you are. That's much better. Thank you so much.
I was saying United Nations can't do much. I mean, the United Nations General Assembly is symbolic. It's there to raise issues and let the countries talk about issues and mobilize each other to make certain decisions. But they can't enforce any decision. Even if they do make any decision, they've got no methods of enforcing those decisions. United Nations Security Council, on the other hand, has a little bit of muscle. But unfortunately, Russia has got a veto right. So even there, the UNSC can't do much. So it's a catch-22. The action is then left for the Ukrainians to fend for themselves and continue lobbying support from NATO and the United States and other countries around the world to help in their cause. But unfortunately, there's nothing most countries can do. No country will actually risk its reputation with Russia, nor risk a war with Russia by just intervening in that country.
As a political analyst, do you think veto, or the power to veto, do you think that is a good idea or a bad one?
Of course it's a bad one, but unfortunately this is at the time when the veto rights were talked about and agreed upon with these five permanent members, France, China, United States, I think it's Britain and Russia, there was a good rationale for the veto rights. But at the moment, the veto rights or the five permanent members are being criticized for being the only countries who got the right to decide who dies and who lives. And South countries like South Africa have been pushing for the expansion of the United Nations Security Council. As you know, there's some roving members from the non-permanent members of the Security Council who then form part of the Security Council every year.
Yes.
But South Africa is pushing to expand that to include other countries to be part of these permanent members. But I think it deserves reform, if not a cancellation, in its totality, because as it stands at the moment, it's not just, and it continues, of course, to infuriate other countries who feel they deserve to sit there and also make similar decisions.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Human Rights Council, I mean, some of the worst offenders of human rights actually sit on that council. Tembisa, can you give us an update on what is happening with the Ukraine war?
Well, nothing has changed. The bombs are still falling in Ukraine from the Russian forces. Putin's war continues, entering a desperate situation, particularly on the southeastern part of Ukraine, where Putin has said he's going to go and concentrate his soldiers, which is the Donbas region.
Yeah.
So the situation hasn't changed. You still see the barbarity of the Russian army led by Putin and Sergei Lavrov continuing to wreak havoc in Ukraine. And you're also seeing the reluctance of NATO and United States to give that no-fly zone. But what we've seen, though, is that they are continuing to give arms. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, was in Ukraine with Volodymyr Zelensky about 3 days ago, and is also undertaken to give weaponry as a form of assistance to the Ukrainians. So the Western countries are continuing to give weapons to the Ukrainians to fight this army. And we also get reports that the Russian army are also incurring huge numbers of casualties, particularly on their soldiers. And also materially, they are losing a lot of their weaponry as a result of this fierce resistance by the Ukrainians. So we're still in the same position, except that the case of war crime is being amplified now, given that we've seen a lot of civilians were losing their lives and property destroyed. Yeah. So there are more and more people who are calling for Vladimir Putin to go to The Hague for crimes against humanity, which I think is going to be the eventuality of him if he's not killed.
Yeah. Well, you know what, we remain to see. What role do you think NATO played in this?
Well, NATO has done a good job, notwithstanding. But we all have to remember and accept that Ukraine is not a member of NATO. And it was not even a member of the European Union. But notwithstanding, NATO came to the party, if it wasn't because of NATO's assistance. I think Volodymyr Zelensky's army would have long succumbed to Putin's power. But NATO played an important role. But the other thing which I think is very important and few people talk about, the rationale that was given to the Russians was that they're trying to stop NATO from joining, I mean, Ukraine from joining NATO.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, the amount of manpower, finance, and military hardware that has since been given to Ukraine basically makes Ukraine now very militarized, but also Ukraine is actually, in inverted commas, a member of NATO now, because I don't see that being reversed after this, when the dust settles in Ukraine at the moment. The manpower that we have, experienced generals who came from different parts of Europe, in the United States, the army, the armory that was sent to Ukraine, and all other assistance, is certainly not going back. So I will argue that Ukraine is actually a much more well-prepared NATO country than most of the East European countries like Latvia and Lithuania. Ukraine is actually will be much more prepared in the future, because this investment that's been made this time around, I don't think they're going to withdraw it. And so it plays against the objective of Russians, who wanted to push NATO far, much more further from Ukraine. Notwithstanding, of course, that they had three other countries who are NATO members, including Finland, Latvia, and Lithuania. But now I think Ukraine is going to be a much more militarized, and it could pose a threat for Russia, something that they were trying to prevent in the first place.
Yeah, very interesting. And perhaps we'll get a chance to speak again. I see that we are unfortunately out of time, but I would love to know, from the Russian perspective, if you're feeling this encroachment, with all these states around you becoming NATO members, what does that mean? And what would anybody else do in the same situation? Thembisa Fikile, political analyst and senior researcher, fellow at AfriAid, thank you very, very much for your time. I wish you a safe day, and thank you so much.